The Director Podcast, episode number 2, January 18th, 2006.
Hey everybody, this is Skip, and I'm here to discuss everything director related. That's right, a podcast finally dedicated solely to the software that you love to use.
Hey, director people, this is Skip Kimple coming to you from the studios of Magic Gate Software here on the Director Podcast, episode number 2. We absolutely are blown away by the response that we've gotten from the director community and all of you listeners, so we thank you already for that. I know it may sound a little early to be thanking people, but I think we really struck on something good here, and everybody seems to be tuned into the idea of a new format to get the word of director across and to get some of your questions answered. And we really want to thank your support, and hopefully you'll subscribe to this podcast and you'll be with us every single week. Remember to subscribe to our podcast. You can just go to www.magicgate.com/podcast and you can find information there about how to get the direct RSS feed. There's a link there right to click on and automatically subscribe you in iTunes, which is the method I suggest that you do so you don't miss any of our episodes. iTunes will automatically update our podcast in your playlist when we update our podcast here on Magic Gate Software. Also, if you're listening to us in iTunes, this is an enhanced podcast. So as we're talking along here and we talk about a resource or a website, down in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen, you'll see an icon for whatever we happen to be talking about at the time. And there is a link on that icon. All you have to do is click on that link, and it will take you directly to the website that we happen to be talking about. Also, we'll be putting these links in our show notes, which you can find on our website at magicgate.com/podcast. We have an awesome show in store for you today. We have tons of news and information. And we're going to continue on with the extra of the week, the resource of the week, the director's sighting of the week. But one thing that I also wanted to do was interviews with people out there. And today we have Chuck Neal from Media Macros. That's right, Chuck's going to be with us later on in the show. So you do not want to miss that interview. Now, this show is longer than our last show, and we need to hear from you guys. What is the length of the show that you really want to listen to? Everybody's got a different opinion. Some people like 20-minute shows. Some people like 40-minute shows. When they go to work, they put their iPod in their car and listen to things. So give us some feedback. Let us know the proper length of the show, because you know what? We could cut an interview into two parts. That's not a big deal. So let us know. We'll take care of you.
In the news.
This week we had so much news, I'm not quite sure where to begin. Actually, first of all, I might as well start off with something I received in the mail today. I opened up my mailbox and there it was, the new MX Developers Journal. And there was an article, actually it's the cover story, about Adobe and Macromedia. They've long been waiting to get together, especially on certain fronts, for instance, the PDF front. And there was an extremely nice article written by Integration New Media's marketing manager, Kristen, talking about INM seeing a bond a long time ago and creating an extra to put PDF files in director projects. More specifically, Impresario was the item that was covered. And being the cover story, this is going to be great press for Integration New Media, and it's going to be good press for director, because that's pretty much the focus of what they were talking about. So that's good news, and congratulations goes out to Integration New Media. That's a great exposure for you guys, and you certainly do deserve it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to this article, so you can just go there and click on it, or better yet, go out to the newsstand if you're not subscribed and go get the MX Developers Journal. It's volume 3, issue 11. And it is, or it should be, in the newsstands right now. Now, this isn't new news, per se, but Integration New Media had an Impresario contest. I guess it's a couple months ago now. And they announced their winners. And first place, if you guys do not already know this, was Sony Marketing Resource Toolkit, developed by Blueburst Limited. Second place went out to Swarovski's Introduction to Digiscoping, developed by Sony DIDC. And third place went to the Weber Knapp video, developed by Chase Information Systems Incorporated. Now, the reason why I bring up these names, because if you guys are listening, contact us. We want to talk to you. We're going to do an episode in the future all about Impresario, because it's a very valuable tool. And we want to hear directly from one of you guys to find out exactly your thoughts about the product and your experiences with the product and how it increased your productivity. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. In regards to the last episode, episode number one of the Director Podcast, we had a little discussion of the new Mac system that's going to be coming out soon, or it is out, the new Mac Intel-based systems. And Nadine over at Integration New Media was listening to the podcast and was kind enough to forward me an article, which I will also post in the show notes, where INM's Director of Operations talks about this in more detail as to how the Mac Intel will relate to Director projects. And apparently they tested a project made in Director using Flash components, Impresario, and other custom third-party extras, and it worked 100% under Rosetta. So you know what? That's the first good news I've heard. Thanks for forwarding that to me, Nadine. And go check it out in more detail. Once again, it's in the show notes, a link to this article written by Integration New Media. You know what we need to do, maybe? Is, I think maybe on our site, let's produce a list of safe extras that can be used with the new Mac Intels. That way, if you're a developer out there that's going to be developing, for instance, an educational product where you have to produce for a Mac, you can choose from this list of, well, we'll call it Mac Intel safe extras. I don't know. Let's come up with a name for it. Help me figure out a name of what we're going to call this list. And this will be a good start for developers to figure out what they can and cannot use safely in their projects in the near future. Extra. This week's extra of the week, we're going to talk about direct extras, direct communication extra. All right, if that sounds like a mouthful there, let me explain. The name of the company is called Direct Extras, and you can find them at Direct Extras, spelled xtras.com. And they have quite a few good extras over there, but I want to talk about one in particular today that we have used recently. It's the Direct Communication Extra. Now, what the heck does this thing do? Well, it is, first of all, cross-platform. And it allows applications to communicate with devices through the serial port, parallel port, or USB serial adapter. And that means you can communicate with modems. This comes from their website. Modems, fax machines, card readers, mini disks, alarm systems, show control systems, laser disc players, telephone response systems, computers, and virtually any other serial device. Now, we have used this extra, for instance, for card readers, and we hook it up to a serial port, and it allows us to read and write information over the serial port to that card reader, and we've also used it for instance, ID cards. And one other case that we used a handheld UPC scanner and created our own scanning software and tied it into a database. So just think about it for a second. First of all, you can communicate with several devices at the same time, and you can send and receive text or binary data to and from the device. Now, this opens up a whole new world of what Director can do for your project. I think at this point, you could just let your imagination run wild. I mean, you're no longer stuck to a static screen. You can really implement almost any device that you want. And if you think about it long enough, you start coming up with applications that probably haven't even been developed yet. Or, for instance, if you have a company that approaches you that at first you think that sounds like a crazy idea because they want you to integrate your project with some proprietary device they happen to have in their office, their security system, their phone system, whatever. Well, you know what? With this extra, you got a good shot of being able to do that. Now, Mac users, as you know, you do not have built-in serial ports, but there's good news. You can buy a USB serial adapter, and they list, let's see, on their website, they list, you can buy this from a company called Keyspan, K-E-Y-S-P-A-N, and you can go to keyspan.com. Now, let me reiterate, the keyspan.com is for the USB to serial adapter. But if you want to learn more information about the extra we've been talking about, the direct extras, direct communication extra, you just go to www.directextras.com. And this whole time we've been talking about it, you should have seen a link down in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. If you click on that link, it will take you directly to the product page for the Direct Communication Extra. This week I was cleaning out my computer a little bit, going through everything I had installed on the machine, running a little sluggish, and just seeing what was causing all that. And I came across a piece of software I had installed on my machine that I had forgotten about. And it made me think of this segment of the program because, you know, this is a very, very cool program. It is the Logo Creator by Laughing Bird Software. You can go to their website at www.thelogocreator.com and you can check out more about this product. Now, it's created by a guy named Mark Sylvester. He owns a California company called Laughing Bird Software. And as you experiment with this program, and you can experiment, they have a downloadable trial version you can try, I don't know how many days, but it's definitely worth downloading just to check out the architecture, how they put this thing together, and the amount of time they must have put in this thing, because they got some great stuff. They got some floating palettes of tools, and they've put a lot of time in the artwork as well. They have 250 logo templates with over 400 logo elements. And when you buy the product, they give great support. They've got forums and tutorials and logo design tips. This guy has done a very, very good job putting this product together. The download demo version is for both Mac and the PC. And he's even got a bunch of logo expansion packs of all different kinds of themes. Cartoon, Hollywood, you name it, he's got it. Very, very cleverly done. And you know what? This guy's a good marketer. He's got his software currently boxed on the shelf at CompUSA, Best Buy, the Apple stores, whatever. This is a good example of how you can take a director project really to that next level. And it is also a really good example of using Director for full application development. You don't need to have C++. You know what? If you're comfortable with Director, Director can do a ton of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with creating a full application using Director. Most people think of using Director for kiosks or kids games or, you know, company presentations, but our company ourselves, I would say maybe 65 to maybe 70% of what we do is full-blown application development with the Director tool set. And, you know, it's extremely powerful, and this is a very good example of how you can use Director. And you know what, I bet you this guy's making a lot of money from it, so you go, Mark, and I hope you have great success with that product, because it's a great example of what Director can do. Once again, you can check out the Logo Creator by Laughing Bird Software at www.thelogocreator.com.
Resource of the Week.
This resource that I want to talk about is probably my most used resource for director information, and that is the Macromedia Forums. I don't have to call them Adobe Forums because it's still under the Macromedia domain name. If you have a newsreader, if you don't know what a newsreader is, I'm sure most of you out there do. You can just go to Yahoo or Google newsreader software. And in Internet Explorer for the PC side of the fence, you can go up to Tools, Mail, News, something up there. There's a built-in newsreader that's built into Outlook Express. I don't know. It's late here. Anyways, the important part is that you get to forums.macromedia.com. Now, I don't think you can just type that into a web browser. As a matter of fact, I know you can't just type that into a web browser unless you have some type of newsreader software that integrates and interprets. I doubt that exists. Hey, if I'm wrong, let me know because that would be kind of cool. But at forums.macromedia.com, they have several forums there. Let me pull that up. And the good thing is you post a question. This is people from all around the world that view this forum. You can get an answer literally in a few minutes, a few hours. I find the response time to be quite quick. Let me see here. They have four different forums. They got Director Basics, Lingo, a Director 3D forum, and a multi-user server forum. I don't think the multi-user server forum is used as much as the rest of them. Probably the most used forum out there in that at the Macromedia site is probably the Lingo forum. You've got a real tight question. You know, I've even seen people post pieces of code that they're having problems with, and they'll get a response back in no time with a suggestion of how to correct it. And another nice thing is you've got all the big names out there in the director community that go through this forum and actively answer people's questions. So once again, point your newsreader to forums.macromedia.com and subscribe to, subscribe to all four of those news groups. Now, let's say you don't have a newsreader, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You can actually go to the Macromedia website. Actually, if you go to Adobe and go to support and forums, you'll see a director link. And I'll put a link in the show notes directly to the director support forums. And right there on the website, you can actually go in. I'm doing it right now. And you can read through all of the listings. And you can search. You can do all sorts of cool stuff. And you can post new topics. So you don't need a newsreader. You can just do it on the website. So why don't you go ahead and do that? That'd be kind of cool too. Anyways, highly recommend this resource as one of the first places you go to when you've got troubles with a project or a piece of code, and that is the Macromedia. We'll soon have to change the name of that, but the Macromedia Forums at forums.macromedia.com. Now it's time for our listener feedback section of the show here today. We had a huge response from our last podcast, and we had tons of emails and tons of voice messages, voice comments, and actually some people emailed us asking how they can leave a voice comment on the show. So let me just reiterate what you can do. I'll give all the information later, but let me just throw this number out real quick. You can just call 954-840-3677. You'll get a voice message for our director comment hotline. Just leave your voice messages there, and we will try to answer your questions. You can use it for questions, comments about the show, whatever you want to do. And we'll try to include as many as we can and answer as many questions that we can here on the podcast. And if we don't have time on the podcast, if you don't hear your comment played right away, well, we might save it for a future show, something that might relate more to a topic down the road, or you know, at least I'll respond by email and try to answer your question or at least point you in the right direction. Our first comment comes from Tony. Let's hear what Tony has to say.
Hey, I'm just calling to find out what's the difference between downloading the MP3 version of your show and the enhanced version of your show. Just wondering what that means or exactly how to do that. And then just let you know, love your podcast. Thanks, man. I'll be listening.
Thank you, Tony. Actually, a few people asked us that question via email, and I'd be happy to answer it for you. We have two links to our show. We have the direct show link, which is the plain old MP3 file. And then we have the enhanced version. And the enhanced version you actually get if you subscribe to our podcast via iTunes. And we have a subscription link on our webpage. And you could also go to iTunes. We are now indexed in their podcast directory. You can search for Director Podcast and you can find us right there. Now, what the enhanced podcast will do within iTunes is as we're talking about a subject, down in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen, you'll see a graphic that will change from time to time. And that graphic will change depending upon what we happen to be talking about at the time. And if you click on the link in that graphic, it will take you to the website of the product we happen to be talking about at the time. So that's probably the preferred way to listen to this podcast to get the most use out of it is to listen to it in iTunes, and you don't have to. Obviously, it's up to you how do you want to use this podcast, but that's probably the most effective way to get the most out of what we're trying to do here at the Director Podcast. And let's move on to our second audio comment, and that is from Melissa.
This is Melissa from Florida, and I just wanted to comment that I love your podcast. What a great idea. I also wanted to know if you're going to be talking about how to implement a PDF file in a director project in any upcoming shows.
And yes, we will be talking about how to implement a PDF file in director projects in upcoming shows. As a matter of fact, we've had so much response, and I think I said it earlier in the podcast, I think it is due for an entire podcast dedicated to implementing PDFs in your project. And there's a lot to talk about in that. You know what? We'll try to get some of the contest winners from the INM's Impresario contest, and we can probably get Integration New Media themselves on the phone to give us a little pitch on their product and maybe tell us a little bit more about what it can do. So the answer to the question is yes, and we thank you for your comment. We want to encourage everybody out there to leave us comments. You can leave us comments in several ways, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But our request hotline or our comment hotline can be reached at 954-840-3677. And just leave whatever is on your mind at the time at that number. We have many, many emails. Unfortunately, we cannot get to those emails during this show. We will hold off and implement them on future episodes of the Director Podcast because there is some really good information and we do want to share that with you. Actually, we are going to take one of the emails into consideration right now. The email comes from Casey Jones. Now, Casey, your email is going to get special attention because I happen to forward that email to the guest that we are about to have on the show, Mr. Chuck Neal. And Chuck is going to actually personally answer your question. It's towards the end of the interview. So right now, without further ado, the moment you've been waiting for, Mr. Chuck Neal. Joining us today, we have Chuck Neal from Media Macros. Chuck, say hello.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to the Director Podcast. Many listeners out there have been contacting us, encouraging us to get you on the phone here. So I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out here excited to hear what you have to say. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, where you're located.
Okay. Well, I've been doing multimedia and director work for probably 10 or 11 years, somewhere in that range. Actually, I started out, working for another company, just like most everybody else out there, and really kind of got into sort of the open source approach with Director. There were a few sites at the time that were sharing information, things like that, but I really couldn't find many resources that were focusing, primarily on Director code and sort of as, here, download these behaviors, grab these scripts, that type of thing. There were little tidbits here and there, but I thought, you know, let's put this in a database and kind of work off of that. So it just really sort of evolved over time. I started out with 15 or 20 of my own scripts, ran a couple of contests, and we were fortunate enough to have some of the big extra developers willing to help us out and sponsor those, and just kind of grew out of control from there. over time, it was one of those that I started getting help requests from people, really asking more how to do things, and a lot of times evolving into situations where people might be in a little over their head. And so I started doing freelance work that way. And over time decided, you know, I really enjoy doing this more than what I was doing at work. So went out on my own and kind of founded Media Macros as a company. And over the years, we've done all types of projects. We do anything from, you know, writing individual behaviors for other companies all the way up to, you know, full-blown projects, everything from games, kiosks, CD-ROM, presentations, you know, kind of the gamut. I find it kind of funny. People ask me sometimes what I do, and trying to explain the end product to people is very difficult.
They just don't get that, do they?
Well, it's like, you know, the laundry list could be, you know, which of the hundreds of different types of things would they like to know about, you know, that type of thing. What I do every day is pretty consistent. I write a lot of code. That's the beauty of Director. There's so many applications to it. That really the end product of what you create, you know, you're not limited to just applications or to, you know, just games or, you know, just a kiosk. You can really make just about anything you want with it. We've been set up as, as my own business I've had for about 5 years now. Really primarily we tend to service other multimedia firms. We do a fair amount of in-client work, but I would say 60 to 75% of our work is probably for, you know, other agencies or other firms that, you know, maybe have somebody on staff to do certain things, but they don't have the capabilities to do the more advanced work or don't have a director person on staff. And, we kind of act as their silent programming studio behind the scenes.
Very good. And now, last week in the our first podcast, we highlighted MediaMacros.com, which is what we've pretty much been talking about right now. I failed to mention MediaMacros.net, which there is a great resource for the all the extras that are currently out there. Care to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The MediaMacros.net site, I actually started up a couple of years ago. It was one of those that pretty much the presence in the community was known from the .com side. And, you know, that's the side that I really like to push, is the open source community. But as I started doing more and more commercial work, I wanted to be sure that what we were doing commercially was not interfering or biasing, you know, the sort of the open source and the free elements. I didn't ever want people to come to the site and go, well, you know, is this recommendation of this product, you know, balanced and fair? Is this something that, you know, they're just trying to push their own stuff or trying to put down another customer? So anything that kind of gets in the commercial realm, I've tried to pull off of the site and put somewhere else. That way there's a good division between the two. The .NET site, I mean, it definitely highlights a little more of our capabilities and our services. It's actually undergoing a rather big renovation right now, so hopefully within the coming month or so we'll have a much fresher look to it. But the primary component of that is the extras mall. And initially this started out selling the extras that either we developed in-house, or there are a few extras that we're the exclusive resellers for. ADO and Active Companion Set, we've been the resellers in the U.S. and actually around the world for those. We've done a lot of custom programming of extras for clients, and a lot of times we're able to then take those, you know, depending on the agreement, and then turn those into commercial products. And we're fortunate enough that, you know, we do have, I think, pretty good relationships with a lot of the other developers out there. So over the past year or so, we have added additional extras in there that, you know, maybe we didn't produce ourselves. INM is one, Paradigm Software with the Valentina extra. And we've got quite a few others in there that, you know, we can resell the product and give people sort of a one-stop shop place to get their extras instead of having to go to, you know, 50 different retailers that they've never heard of. And, you know, kind of that hesitation people always have about buying from somebody they're not real familiar with.
Yeah, that's actually good. Some of the older resources for the extras are quite outdated, so it's nice to see a list that's kept up to date like yours.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the .com site does have a database that's searchable there as well. We certainly are looking to add over time, you know, more of the other commercial extras, the ones that are willing to resell. There's some that, you know, due to international issues dealing with, you know, payments and taxes and stuff, or some that maybe, you know, just don't have in their current business model a reselling structure that have been, haven't been able to take advantage of that yet. But we found a lot of the developers we've approached are quite happy to have us do the reselling and give that extra layer of credibility, you know, to customers that maybe aren't as familiar with their company. And actually, a lot of the orders we get, I from time to time get emails from people saying that, you know, they just felt more comfortable buying from us because they recognized the name, or they saw so many more extras, you know, that it definitely gives sort of newer developers a way to kind of get out there in the community, you know, until they get their name established a little better.
Absolutely. What you said you've been using Director for about 10 years. Do you remember what version you first started using?
I think the first one I used, I mean, I played with earlier versions, you know, just kind of in school and things like that beforehand. But I think the first one I ever did a serious project in was probably Director 4. Got the most excited about when 5 rolled out and you really started getting a lot of control with behaviors and reusable code at that level. I think commercially, the first one I started doing a serious number of projects on, I would say it would be around Director 6 probably, and you know, been using it as my primary development platform ever since. So,
which version of Director do you currently use?
I try to use MX 2004 whenever possible. There are still some client projects that, you know, just due to that whole nightmare of trying to upgrade things, that we've still kept in either MX or 8.5. But generally speaking, there's enough kind of, I think, fixes and additions to MX 2004, as well as the UI enhancements, that it's just far more efficient, I think, for us as a team to work in that. That's when I always kind of find kind of funny is every time a new version of Director comes out, there's always the pros and cons. And one of the ones I always hear is if there's a lot of emphasis given to, you know, there's some improvements in the UI, people typically scream that shouldn't count, or, you know, that's not really an upgrade. But, you know, I find that actually sometimes those UI enhancements I look forward to more than some of the other features at times, because if I can save a few hours a day or a week, you know, in my programming time just based upon those enhancements, you know, time is money. And it definitely, that pays for itself usually a lot faster than a new feature that I may not get to for 6 or 8 months.
Now, in Director 2004, a new feature was introduced with the option to program in either Lingo or in Java. Which do you find yourself, do you still find yourself programming Lingo?
I definitely gravitate towards Lingo. And it's, you know, it's one of those, I think, you know, what you know. I use Lingo because I've written in it for years, and I can, you know, I've had dreams actually before about writing code, kind of frightening, but, you know, Lingo is just very natural for me. But the JavaScript does have a lot of advantages. The thing that we've used it for the most internally is really pulling the JavaScript out to do things that Lingo doesn't have the raw capabilities for. With the SpiderMonkey engine that they use to, you know, to lay the JavaScript into Director, you get a lot of natural things that you could find for JavaScript in a browser that Director doesn't support. For instance, you've got things like trim commands, to uppercase, to lowercase, some built-in regular expression type controls. So there's a few areas like that it definitely gets some enhancements utilizing JavaScript. And typically what we'll try to do is break those pieces out into just short little JavaScript functions that we can then call from Lingo. You know, so I can keep a script primarily in Lingo, but I can call a trim command, for example. One of the ones I saw the most significant change, about two and a half years ago, I had written an MD5 interpretation for Director. It's basically you feed in text, it runs the MD5 algorithm, and you get back a hash from that. The problem was it was really sluggish under Lingo, because there really aren't bitwise, you know, some of the bit shift type things that you need to properly do an MD5 algorithm. Well, with JavaScript, you know, they've got some of that built in, and not having to do that transfer back and forth, and I have to apologize, I forget the gentleman's name off the top of my head that basically wrote a script from that. But using that aspect of JavaScript, you know, you went from a script that was 3 or 4 seconds to execute something that was literally a couple milliseconds to do the same routine. So there's definitely places for it. As a whole, most of the speed tests I've seen, JavaScript is going to run slightly slower than Lingo in, you know, for native code. So I haven't felt a strong desire to switch things over, but it has been a nice addition to be able to incorporate, you know, where necessary.
I think a lot of listeners think that, you know, either their project has to be solely Lingo or solely solely Java, but that is not the case. And you just explained very clearly that, you know, it's a good marriage of languages where you can tie the two together.
It is, and I think the object model is similar. I mean, there is a different approach when you're creating a parent script or the equivalent in Java or using prototyping that people, I think, are going to tend to program in whatever they're most used to. I've got so much code that's built on parent scripts that the thought of going back and rewriting that in JavaScript, it wouldn't be cost effective at all. Nor do I think we'd get enough. I don't think we'd get a strong benefit out of it either. But by using them kind of to their strengths, you know, you basically can supercharge your Lingo code using all this JavaScript functionality, and really provide a massive amount of flexibility. I'm sure if any of the listeners out there don't already do this, I mean, I would highly recommend, you know, keeping your own internal code library. If nothing else, just start out with the generic scripts that you use all the time. And, you know, we've done that with, you know, we've got entire scripts that are about nothing but processing strings. And when the JavaScript came out, we were able to take code that may have been 20, 30, 40, 50 lines long and break it down into one or two lines because it was something JavaScript handled natively. And, you know, those are areas that you really can squeeze a lot of efficiency out of your applications and definitely make it easier to debug if you've got to go back and make changes later.
That's some good information. You know, I was just looking here on your site. Obviously, you're known for Director, but like all of us, we do other things, web stuff, Flash, video. What would you consider the amount of time that you dedicate to Director projects?
Part of me wishes I could say 100%, but it is what I enjoy doing the most. You know, to be honest with you now, going from just sort of being a programmer to a business owner, I'd say 30% of my week is probably spent more project management, administration type stuff. But of the programming time, you know, that I do have, it's still probably close to 70-75% of my time is probably still Director-based.
Now, as you're using Director, we all have our favorite little tools that we like to use, and since you use Director so much, what do you find in your Director toolbox, an extra piece of script, probably more an extra, that you find that's invaluable to your Director development?
There's a few. I would say if I had to pick just absolutely one, though, Buddy API is by far the one I use more than anything. It's just sort of blind habit now. Whenever I go to create a projector and, you know, I'm including extras, Buddy API gets put in there whether I'm using it or not. Although I think I'd be pretty hard-pressed to find any project that doesn't actually utilize it.
Yeah, I think we all do.
You know, that adds so much core functionality to Director that it's just necessary to really create any type of solid application. If that's one, I don't know, I don't think I could do without that one at all.
Another thing I like about that is you don't have to buy the full license in order to use it. You know, they have a beautiful business model where if you have a projector, you know, you're starting off in Director and, you know, you just want to experiment with some of the functions, you know, it's got a limited capability. You can put a few functions in there for free, which, you know, it really allows you to get your feet wet without, you know, spending, I forget what they're charging now, but it is worth purchasing. But like I said, if the average person out there wants to play with it and try some of the functions, you know, they do allow you to do that, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I think Gary's got a very good approach. We actually recently started reselling extras for him as well. But he, across the board, he seems to be very relaxed and very flexible about it. You know, with Buddy, you can use two functions for free. I think then he steps it up. I have to apologize, I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's 7 to 10, somewhere in that range, that you can use when you buy a partial license, or then, you know, you could buy the full license and use it unlimited. And really, because it's based on per projector, there's a lot of cases where you only need one or two functions, and having the ability to use that free extra is great. And he's really followed that through, I think, with a lot of his other products as well. Buddy File came out a few months ago, which is basically kind of a, I call it File IO on steroids. You know, it gives you the ability to read and write those text files without having to go through the old kind of arcane problems of File IO. And it also handles that data exchange much, much easier, deals with binary files, things like that. And he even put that one out there on the Honor system. You can download, use it, don't even have to, you know, it'll work without licensing it. And all he says is, you know, hey, if you like to use this, you know, please pay me this much. But completely honor-bound on that. And but, I realize you can't run every business that way. I think it is a really, really good philosophy that he's looking more for what he can provide the community and then just really asking, you know, hey, you know, keep me putting food on my table in the process, but, you know, I'm not trying to strong-arm everybody. So, and every time I turn around, he's got another good tool out. So definitely a good resource.
Yeah. It's a good thing because there are some extras out there that they've pretty much stopped developing for some reason or another. And he continues to develop and come up with new upgrades, which is great because there's nothing worse than an outdated extra that all of a sudden you can't run functions on an operating system or something like
that.
I'm just looking at his website, and the unregistered version, you can have two functions in any projector.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's got a limited version, which is $90. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to call 7 functions. And then the full version is $180, and that's the full-blown package. So definitely I agree with you on that. That's a priceless extra to have in your toolkit. Anything else that you find that you use all the time?
There's actually a set of scripts on, I think it's lingoworkshop.com. And let me see if I can find exactly where he's hidden it. It moves from time to time. Basically, it's one of the things I actually started a few years ago working on my own kind of library of UI widgets. And to be honest with you, abandoned it when I saw what a beautiful job, you know, was done with this set. I think it's still technically called a beta or something along those lines. But honestly, it's a very solid set that uses imaging lingo to create, you know, standard widgets, buttons, pop-up menus, tree views. At runtime, they're incredibly fast, work really well, easy to customize, and especially for Shockwave projects, I've started using it pretty extensively. Made a few minor revisions to it myself, things like just setting up where I can use quick draw shapes to place buttons on screen rather than actually using bitmaps, but what mm-hmm. you can end up with is these really gorgeous interfaces that work to UI standards. And the download size is almost nothing because you're not filling up, you know, masses of bitmaps that, you know, just add to the file bloat that has to be downloaded by the user. That's one I would highly recommend if people are looking to rapidly develop interface elements.
Any project you happen to be working on right now that you can inspire our listeners by telling us about?
Let's see. Unfortunately, there's a few I'm not allowed to talk about. Clients are always a little touchy about me sharing their details.
Of course.
There is one that we're working on that's sort of a semi-internal project. We've played around, you know, we've done quite a few games in the past, and one of the things we've been looking at recently is doing a lot of simulation work, things like for hospitals or training. We used to kind of do some old 2D isometric type approaches to doing those. And what we're basically doing is taking that same model, same approach with the grid system, but applying it using the power of Director's 3D engine. So we're keeping that basically, you know, 2D three-quarter overhead view, but utilizing geometry to speed things up, allow our development to be quicker. And then we're building, you know, our own set of tools so we can do things like terrain generation, you know, placing walls, placing buildings, objects, and then using things like the A-Star Path algorithm to take care of, you know, getting characters from one point to another around obstacles. The initial projects we're doing are entirely for simulation, you know, as training, but we're building it open-ended where then we can scale it out to use in some of our game projects rather than having to, you know, start from scratch or use something a little older in this particular area. He's trying to, you know, be able to build kind of better games at a better price, sort of the goal with that.
What, in all your years of director development, what do you you look back, what was the most challenging project you think you ever had? Something that just, you wanted to tear your hair out, but, you know, in the end, you're really happy with the results.
Let's see, challenging project or challenging client?
Aren't they all challenging clients?
Well, honestly, I think to some degree that there's a lot of truth in that, though, because, you know, I like to program. I mean, that's really, you know, I've caught myself sitting up in my recliner in the evenings, you know, just writing code ideas of things I don't have time to do during the workday. So I'm probably a little strange that way, but I do actually enjoy the coding side of it. Most of my frustration really tends to come in projects, not so much from the functionality, but more from kind of the client side, like moving goalposts type thing. You know, you know what you're trying to do. You build a beautiful architecture around it. You know, it's a nice, elegant system, and then they come in and want to change something at the very base level and go, that's a simple change, right? It's like, no, I have to rebuild everything now. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, where I think where things that, I don't know, I might consider frustrations, sometimes are the things I enjoy the most. I mean, I really like a good challenge. I like incorporating new hardware, new software, new technologies maybe that haven't been utilized in Director. You know, trying to find a way to incorporate the two together and get a really solid working in product. You know, I did a lot of, I remember early on before some of the newer extras came out, and Macromedia released the ActiveX extra. I did a lot of experimentation with, you know, putting web browser controls, PDF files, using, you know, native Microsoft element, you know, interface elements and items like that, tree views, stuff like that, that at the time Director really didn't have a lot of good options for. And they were definitely challenging because you didn't get a lot of feedback. It was just sort of, okay, that doesn't work. Does it not work because I did something wrong, or does it not work because it's just not going to support this in the environment? So those would probably be some of my more challenging attempts. But, you know, with any of the challenges, they're also the most rewarding once they're finished because you really put a lot of sweat in it, and to see it pay off is quite a good feeling.
Absolutely. Going back to the ActiveX feature, that's really a feature that's overlooked by a lot of Director developers, and it opens up a whole new set of tools if you can implement it properly. And like you said, it's hard to get feedback from the DirectX component to find out what's working and what's not working and debugging it. But if you do find a ActiveX component that works, it works pretty darn good, and you can really open things up in your Director project.
Exactly. And, you know, with the risk of having a shameless product plug here, that's really a lot of the concept behind the Active Companion stuff. That product initially was VBScript Extra, and it was written where we could just interface with COM objects, DLLs, you know, that type of thing. But it's been since expanded that there's a, you know, sort of a different version of the ActiveX wrapper than what Macromedia provides, as well as an OLE plugin as well. So taking things like, say, PowerPoint, that your options used to be shell out to PowerPoint or maybe use an extra that just sort of grabbed PowerPoint and controlled it on top of the projector. You know, now we've got the ability to actually embed that inside of it with, say, an OLE object, and then use the VBScript controls to actually do things like change pages, modify content within the file, you know, things like that. And it really does. It becomes sort of a Swiss Army knife of extras at that point, because, you know, anything that somebody's got a solid COM object, ActiveX control, something like that out there on the market, you can incorporate that into Director just like you could, you know, Visual Basic or, you know, any other kind of environment such as that. Of course, the big caveat is that's going to be a Windows-only approach, so if you need to support Mac users, not going to be terribly useful for you. But definitely in the Windows environment, it can open up a lot of control for anything there's not a native extra for.
Well, perfect segue. Those Mac users, some pretty big announcements over at Apple this week in regards to the new platform that they are going to be developing the Apple system on. A lot of concerns out there in the users groups and from our listeners about the compatibility issues with Director projects. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard of anybody experimenting with a Director project running within Rosetta on the new operating system?
There's actually been quite a few threads on some of the discussion boards the past few weeks about that. You know, of course, Macromedia can't, you know, hasn't given out any official information, so
right.
You know, it's all speculation. But you know, Macromedia in the past has done a really good job of keeping up with changes in environment. I mean, granted, there's some, you know, with the OS 10 port, you know, that came out definitely after the initial release of OS 10, but you know, they're always there sort of keeping things up. And when you figure about something as complex as Director or Shockwave, the work involved to port that to another platform is huge. You know, I would say exponentially more difficult than, say, a Flash plugin. There's just so many more elements. And then on top of the base elements, you've got things like extras and stuff that have to be adapted to fit.
Correct.
But, you know, in the past, Macromedia has done a very good job of keeping up with the new hardware and software. And, you know, I think since the purchase by Adobe, I don't see any reason to think that would change.
Now, we received a comment from a listener this week from Casey Jones, and his comment says, without going into the specifics of Durgame's list, Tom Higgins gave a possible roadmap of the future director growth as follows, and he listed three objects: game development and simulations, application development, and using director as a Flash wrapper. And he also says he would be very interested to hear what some of the names in the community, including your name, have to say about this.
Well, I think he's hit on a topic that it's a double-edged sword with director. I mean, director is to some degree a Swiss Army knife of development. You can do whatever you want to with it. If you want to create, you know, glorified PowerPoint presentations, you can do that. If you want to create full-blown applications, you can do that. If you want to make, you know, fully interactive 3D games, it's, you know, quite possible to do that, and in some ways quite easy compared to some other, you know, other approaches. While this is one of director's strengths, I think it's also at times, from a marketing perspective, one of its weaknesses. It's very difficult to categorize director. I've even seen, you know, Macromedia over the years slide it around. You know, is this an animation tool? Is this a programming tool? You know, what do we call this thing that we've got? And I think it definitely makes it very difficult, because a lot of users, typically their perception of what director is whatever they've seen it used for first. You'll see a lot of people that think, oh, director, that's what they used to make those little kid games I see, you know, from Disney or some of those, you know, groups out there. Other people see it as just a basic animation tool. Or my personal favorite, hey, that's like Flash, right? You know, which I usually follow.
Yeah, that's the big misnomer, is Flash is the new version of Director. Yeah, I hear that all the time.
And there's a lot of misconception there. And, you know, I don't really fault the engineers at all for that. I mean, I think they've done a beautiful job of keeping the product up to date, really adding a lot of great features. It's really a marketing issue. You know, I think there needs to be some better definition. And I think within those discussions, that was a lot of the talk. It's like, you know, what direction is director going to go in the future? And, you know, is there a need to define a particular market for it, or to try to define kind of a small number of markets and really pitch to those? Or is it better to try to keep it as a generalist tool, you know, that, and just sort of sell it that way, that, you know, this can be used for many, many things. I don't think that would necessarily change a lot of the, you know, under the hood elements, but it definitely could define, you know, future enhancements based upon whatever market it's being targeted. Really, I think a lot of that we're just going to have to kind of wait and see where Adobe plans to take it. You know, for now, I see it as a viable tool in all of those areas, and you know, I don't see any reason to stop using it for any of them. It's just a matter of how you pitch that to users that maybe aren't as familiar with the product.
Now, Casey also asked a question about porting of a Shockwave player to the Xbox 360. Apparently, it's a very hot topic on the discussion of Durgames. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, I think it's just something, sort of a theory somebody pitched out. You know, could it be done? I will fully admit I have a very limited understanding of exactly what's under the hood on the Xbox. Based upon the information I have read, I mean, it's certainly kind of a Windows base to some degree. So, I mean, one could extrapolate that, you know, theoretically it could be done, just like any application could be ported to any other operating system. I think with just like anything, it's a supply and demand thing. I mean, if there was enough demand, I'm sure they would take it under consideration. I personally, you know, don't know of anything along those lines. If I did, I couldn't say so anyway. But, you know, really, I think it's more speculation, you know, on the part of users. But I think it's a great idea. I mean, I certainly, you know, Flash has been ported to a lot of different operating systems, and you know, I'll be the first to say that's a much easier task to do. A lot of what Flash handles is not very OS dependent, and you start seeing that when you try to go back and do OS level functionality with Flash. I mean, there's certain I don't know, I call some of them kludgy hacks, but certain things you can wrap around Flash, you know, aside from Director, to enable some of that functionality. But Flash isn't as natively tied into the OS, I think, as Director is. And so whenever you try to port to another operating system, you're kind of talking to some degree about a rebuild. So while I think it's a wonderful idea, I think it would definitely be a pretty large undertaking for the engineers to do something along those lines. But it could be viable. I mean, I think if it were ever done, you know, it leaves the door wide open to use Director even more as a game development platform, or allow smaller shops to use Director's rapid development approach to, you know, create content for, you know, a very viable commercial system that's already out there.
Absolutely.
Sort of opens the platform market up to, you know, those of us that are used to just working on, you know, sort of Mac and PC operating systems.
Casey, thank you very much for your comments this week. Hopefully Chuck was able to answer some of your questions. And that pretty much brings us to the end of this interview. Anything new about your company you'd like to announce, or anything happening for our listeners' information? We will put your website address, both the com and net address, in our show notes. And if you're listening on an enhanced podcast, just look down in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. You'll see the company logo for Media Macros. Just click on that, and you'll be ported right to Chuck's site.
Let's see. We got a few new things kind of coming out or on the horizon. A few people may be aware that we recently released a new extra called Firefly that enables CD burning functionality from Director. So you can now utilize Director to make your own burning software, whether for kiosk or even for mass distribution. And really, with the functionality that we've given, you can kind of go up against, I'd say, programs like Easy CD Creator, things like that, and really wrap your own. We support, you know, ISO, we support video CD, DVD structure, DVD ROM, and even audio CD. So all that's built right in. And I guess the upcoming is we're in process of working on the Mac release for that as well. So it's a Windows only at the moment, but the Mac is coming along shortly. You know, as always, I encourage people with the .com site that, you know, please feel free to use it as a resource, use the stuff in your projects. You know, all we ask is that if later you invent something you think would be helpful to others, you know, certainly feel free to post it and add it back to the community so others can benefit as well.
Chuck, I want to thank you for your time today. Everybody out there certainly does appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate it here at the Director Podcast. And hopefully we'll get you back on in the future as new things develop here at the Director Podcast in the Director world.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed that interview with Chuck. Chuck's a really good guy, and we're really happy he took the time to participate in our podcast. Well, we got to get out of here. It's almost an hour that we've been on the show here, and yikes, an hour. So let's close out the show. How to contact us? Well, we make it real easy. We give you lots of choices. First of all, you can go to our website at www.magicgate.com/podcast. That's singular, podcast. And you can find out more information there. Down at the bottom of that page is a contact form. You can fill out the information there and submit your comments that way. You can email us at director@magicgate.com, or you can call our voice comment hotline at 954-840-3677. So please, this podcast is for you. We want your feedback. We want your comments. If you got a complaint, give that to us too. We can take it. And don't forget our other podcast, the Kiosk Podcast, and that is dedicated solely towards the development of kiosks. And Chuck was kind enough to also give us an interview for the Kiosk podcast. So that might be something you want to check out. Once again, all that information can be found on the website. What to expect next? Well, we're going to have more great director info and hopefully another interview with either a developer or a company that produces extras. And anybody out there that fits this definition, email us to schedule a time to be on the show. And remember, Director is the software that we all love to use. Taking us out of the show, compliments of the PodSafe Music Network, we have a great artist called Brother Love with their song called Push.
Listening to the Director Podcast.